Jag vill bygga mig så uppriktigt jag kan. Men mitt hjärta är tomt. Och tomheten är en spegel.
I never know what to make of The Seventh Seal. It's a film that I love, but I don't understand. And then every time I watch it, I think, what's not to understand? It's not simple, but it's not baffling. It ruminates on God and death, like most films by Ingmar Bergman. And yet, as soon as it's over, it's like those dreams you have, where you're sure you'll remember everything, and then you get out of bed, and the slate is clean. The pleasure of this is that I can sit down to the film like it's something new every time I see it. I'm comforted when I read up on The Seventh Seal and I find out that Ingmar Bergman himself never knew how to feel about the film, what he called an uneven film which lies close to my heart because it was made under difficult circumstances in a surge of vitality and delight. "Say anything you want against The Seventh Seal," Bergman wrote. "My fear of death, this infantile fixation of mine, was at that moment overwhelming. I felt myself in contact with death day and night, and my fear was tremendous. When I finished the picture, my fear went away. I have the feeling simply of having painted a canvas in an enormous hurry, with enormous pretension, but without any arrogance. I said, here is a painting. Take it, please."
Joff, vad är det? Joff! Nej, men snälla, Joff, vad har du gjort? Har du kom och sätt dig här. Har du varit någonstans? Får jag se på dig, får se på dig, får se. Kom. Ja, vad skulle du på krogen att göra? Och så söp du förstås.
Hej, säger jag. Jag söp inte det minsta.
Så att du blir skröt om dina änglar och jävlar som du umgås med.
Originally written as a play called Wood Painting in 1953 for Malmö City Theatre, Bergman's film adaptation was considered financially unviable by Svensk film industry until his delightful comedy Smiles of a Summer Night was a hit at the Cannes Film Festival and he was given the go-ahead to make it. Retitled The Seventh Seal, the film stars Max von Sydow as a knight who returns from the Crusades to find his native land of Sweden ravaged by plague, his own doubts about the reality of God inspired by his experience in battle, now destroyed by the suffering he witnesses, made worse by the hypocrisy of the religious order left standing in Sweden, which he frequently encounters. What's most famous about this movie, though, is one image of a man in black who represents the great beyond. I often confuse my imagery and constantly think that the image of the Grim Reaper holding a scythe comes from The Seventh Seal, but it actually doesn't. Bent Ekeroth's death wears black and his face is paled out, but it's actually his sheathed body against the moody backdrop of the roaring sea that is the famous image from this film. He's actually not holding anything. When the story begins, he has come to collect von Sydow to take him to the next life, but the knight is anxious to stay alive and proposes a challenge. As death has found him playing a game of chess alone, the knight proposes that he play a game of strategy with this mysterious figure, and if he loses, he will submit to him and go to his reward. The delay of the game allows the knight and his squire to traverse the countryside and have a series of encounters, including a joyful family of traveling players, a mentally ill woman being executed as a witch, and a mute servant girl he saves from being raped by a thief, a man who turns out to be the theologian who encouraged von Sydow to leave for the Crusades in the first place. Such reflective dramatic situations are where we realize that this film represents Bergman's own struggle with morality, mortality, and religion, and that's probably why he had trouble figuring out his feelings about the movie, since it focuses on things he had trouble figuring out, period. The film examines the country's switching from pagan to Christian religion as a way of examining Bergman's own challenges with his faith, in a more baroque and external struggle than the ones he was having privately.
I den svarta döden. Ni som står där som gapande fekreatur. Och ni som sitter i dessa självbelåtenhet. Vet ni att detta kan vara er sista timma? Döden står bakom er rygg. Jag kan se hur hans hjässa blänker i solen.
In some ways, The Seventh Seal could be a fairy tale, what with its knight and witch and heroic peasant actors, but it's too dark and, quite frankly, too sincere a story in which humanity is the worst thing there is. The squire eventually takes a wife, but there is no joy in coupling, there is no heroism in this story, and the knight is ultimately defeated. But what a defeat! Sure, The Seventh Seal is one of the darkest films ever made, but it's so passionate about it, it almost feels joyful, right down to the haunting shot of the Dance of Death in the closing scene. It's not surprising that the Criterion DVD features an interview with Woody Allen, telling us that it is the film of Bergman's he loves most, and the one that has inspired him the most as well. Even Woody's most urban, talky New York films feature a blend of the lively and macabre that he would have had spelled out for him so plainly in this visually rich movie. Made on a budget of the era's equivalent of $150,000, The Seventh Seal is not uneven, as Bergman says. What it is actually a combination of its strongest and weakest elements. Fonsito plays chess like a Bond villain, and there are some very creative anachronisms, like the fact that there was never a flagellant movement in Sweden, and persecution of witches doesn't happen on a large scale until a couple of hundred years after this story takes place. But there's also incredible imagery like the Dance of Death, and the fact that the knight playing chess with death has become so ingrained in cinematic vocabulary that there are plenty of people who know it without knowing where it comes from. It was actually inspired by an Albertus Pictor painting from the 1480s, of a man playing chess with a skeleton, and it is the reason why people think of Ingmar Bergman and immediately think of this film first.
Vem är du?
Jag är döden.
Kommer du för att hämta mig?
Jag har redan länge gått vid din sida.
Det vet jag.
Är du beredd?
Min kropp är rädd. Inte jag själv. Vänta ett ögonblick.
Så säger ni alla. Men jag lämnar inga uppskov.
Du spelar ju schack, inte sant?
Hur vet du det?
Ja. Jag har sett det på målningar och hört i visorna.
I think if I were to dare to try and figure it out, I'd say that it's the combination of elements that makes The Seventh Seal work so well, which explains why its unapologetically melodramatic setting is never campy or light. Death is serious about his business, but he's also wry. He asks the knight if he ever stops asking questions, while the life of traveling players is full of as much joy as the knight is full of doubt. And if I were to dare to figure out why The Seventh Seal was such a hit on the international scene, I'd say it's probably because the hunger for more adult fare than Hollywood had to offer, which reached its apex in the 60s, was really getting itself going in the late 50s, and there were plenty of Americans who loved the idea of skipping Vincent Minnelli's Gigi in order to watch something a lot more complex. James Monaco wrote about the film, "With its images and reflections upon death and the meaning of life, The Seventh Seal had a symbolism that was immediately apprehensible to people trained in literary culture who were just beginning to discover the art of film, and it quickly became a staple of high school and college literature courses. Unlike Hollywood movies, The Seventh Seal clearly was aware of elite artistic culture and thus was readily appreciated by intellectual audiences." End quote. Ingmar Bergman himself is no longer with us. He now has eternity to contemplate the subjects of God and death. So in the time that remains to me, I look forward to watching this film again, and hopefully, really letting it sink in.